I'd like to open with a prayer that I heard. You ready?
Ready.
All right. Gracious Father, we bow before you, the sovereign Lord of history and redemption. From eternity past, you propose to lavish grace upon undeserving sinners through the blood of your beloved Son. We praise you for the glory of your mercy, unearned, unmeasured, made manifest in Christ, crucified and risen. May our lives, redeemed and sanctified by your Spirit, be vessels of praise to the riches of your grace. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was a pretty good prayer, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses who wrote it?
Spurgeon.
Spurgeon's not a bad guess. It was written by the godless, faithless, unbelieving ChatGPT.
AI is evil. It'll never change my mind. It's evil.
I don't disagree with you, Andrew. The thing is that you've heard something, seemed right, felt right, but its source wasn't right.
I thought a real person prayed that.
Yep.
So the source may be wrong.
No. We'll get into that now. So I believe that a good father will guide and teach. He protects and enables. He disciplines with love in an appropriate measure. And he strengthens and prepares his children so that they can stand with full assurance before anything that they face. I said before that I think a good father will prepare, a good earthly father will prepare his children to be able to live without him. So the title of my sermon tonight is, I Was Healed and Delivered by Judas Iscariot. Tonight my sermon has two parts, and I want you to get both parts. I'm not breaking it up into two parts, but I have two messages, and both are important. The first is to give you the tools to protect you from false teachers, prophets, and the second is to empower you to move into faith. One thing that I never saw coming as a father was just how much I needed to adjust my style for each of my sons. Mm-hmm. One son is far too concerned about giving everything just right before he acts. And when he messes up, he's way too hard on himself. The other son is way too self-assured and so confident he resists correction. After a few years, I started to realize that the church is made up of the two same kind of people.
Yep.
For every Paul that marches confidently into every situation and takes years to repent, I'm not just talking about attacking the church, even as a minister, he took years to repent. There's a Peter that holds back and he struggles with accepting forgiveness for himself. But both were servants first. Thank you, Beth. Listen to Beth's sermon if you haven't yet. They were both servants, disciples, and apostles. And God moved mightily through them both. That's why the role of the Holy Spirit is so critical in every believer. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. As a teacher, in my own limitation, it's way too easy to address one kind of person because I'm typically the one who's far too self-critical. I'm usually far too reserved and step out, and contrary to my reputation, I say occasionally some people feel like I'm way too hasty. That's the appearance, but inward, a lot of tumult. That's why my first few sermons was me going, and just rocking back and forth with my hands behind my back. Very nervous all the time. As a teacher limited by my own ability, I will address one but not the other. And that can cause the other to, at worst, be ineffective. Or, I'm sorry, at best, be ineffective, and at worst, lead them into sin. Because if I say, you have to get out there, you have to get out there, you have to get out there. But there's people that are far too confident, they lack that measure of restraint. Mm-hmm. And vice versa for the ones that are too restrained. Without time alone with God, you might know about God, but you will not know God. You might believe that He loves you, but you won't know that He loves you. That intimacy is something that can only be built by actually setting aside your own time with God. We have a church that is full of doctrine and knowledge of man's teachings that don't have doctrine and teaching and word from God. I heard from the Lord once when it came to prophecy that there are so many people that want to move in prophecy. They want to move in the Word of God without knowing the sure Word of prophecy and the Word of God. All prophecy for every individual starts here. If it doesn't, you will fall into temptation. We must be cautious that we don't indoctrinate ourselves at the cost of our faith. And I'll explain what I mean by that. We pray for healing for people. And then when nothing happens, what do? We blame ourselves because we feel like we're unrighteous. Or we think of how we've sinned or we've messed up or how we're inadequate. Or we blame the person that we're praying for. It's their incorrect doctrine. It's their unbelief. Jesus healed people that didn't even know who He was. But they knew they got healed. Or we think that it's not God's time to bring the healing. But for some reason, He never put a stipulation of timing in any of His teachings. The Word says that the person that is praying needs to get rid of their unbelief.
Amen. Amen.
The Word says that just because you don't see a manifestation of healing doesn't mean that you give up.
That's right.
The Word says you don't have authority over what you fear.
Good.
Why is it we see so much more healing over colds than we see over cancer? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are scared of cancer. Yeah. Why is it that we see more healing when we pray for people out in the street than we see healing in our own family? Because when they're out in the street, I'm not afraid of what's going to happen there. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. I don't have to live with it. But when it's in my home, I want so badly for it to happen. And I'm concerned about what will happen to my family if it doesn't.
That's good.
Flip over to Mark for me. Mark 6. We're going to get into this. Mark 6, verse 7. And He summoned the 12, and He began to send them out in pairs, and He gave them authority over unclean spirits. In Matthew, He gets more into the nitty-gritty there. He says He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And then continuing in Mark, and He instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And He added, do not put on two tunics, so don't put on two pairs of clothes. And He said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you, so stay there, eat what they give you, look to God to sustain you. That's going to take a lot of faith, right? You ever walked to another town? Walked. They didn't drive. They couldn't just turn around and leave when they wanted. They had to walk. You ever walked somewhere you've never been before and had to have faith that God was going to feed you and shelter you? I have it. It'd take a lot of faith, right? Any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake the dust off of the soles of your feet for a testimony against them. So they went out, preached that men should repent, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil and many sick people and healing them. How many did God, Jesus send out?
12.
72.
That was a different one.
12 in pairs. He sent out 12 in pairs. So he didn't send out everybody but Judas. Did Judas have enough faith to get fed and get shelter?
Yes.
Did Judas move in healing and deliverance?
Yes.
Did Judas preach the gospel?
Yes.
Did Judas go to hell?
Yes.
Yes.
We don't have that.
So I'll give you a reference for that. You can look at it and study it and come to your own conclusion. It's further ahead. So in Psalm 69, 20 through 28 is a prophecy about Judas, and it very strongly suggests that he went to hell. I'm happy to give that again if you need to write it down. Just ask me afterwards, okay? So maybe you think that Judas didn't have and didn't move and operate like the rest of the disciples. But if you look in John 13, just in case, y'all were very vocal, but for the less vocals, let's make sure we get them too. John 13.
John 13 what?
21, sir. John chapter 13, verse 21. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, remember, love in no way would be shaken by what he had coming. He was disturbed in spirit because he knew what was going to happen to Jews. Truly, truly, I say unto you that one of you will betray me. The disciples began looking at one another, at a loss to know which one he was speaking, except for Judas, who always seemed a little off. No, doesn't say that. There was one reclining on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said, tell us who it is whom he is speaking. He, leaning back, thus on Jesus' bosom, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus then answered, that is one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan entered into him. Therefore Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. I wrote that I should go further, so let me see what else I got here. This is important. Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him, which is ridiculous because he had just said it, but the disciples were so surprised at the idea that any disciple could betray Jesus. For some were supposing because Judas had the money box, who knows that Judas liked to steal from the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, buy the things that we have need of for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. The other reason why I don't think Judas went to heaven is because when Judas repented, he went to the temple. He didn't go to Jesus.
Yes, good.
Signs are not proof of righteousness or a ministry that is blessed by God. This is a trap for a lot of people, not just people in the bodies, not just people listening, but for the ministers themselves. There was a woman I read, I don't even remember where now, She had been ministering, and people would move, and it was amazing. And then God came to her. God came to her, and he corrected her because she was in an adulterous relationship. And there was a man who had ministered in, moved in healing in Lakeland. And he had moved for days, and people came from all over to be healed and to get prayed for by this man. And it was not revealed until later that on the last day he confessed that he had started having an adultery during that revival. So a lot of people, a lot of ministers get caught in that trap where because they see movement, they see the Holy Spirit do stuff, they see people respond to their message, they think that they're okay. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves despite the minister simply because people are anticipating a move from God. God can move in your bedroom. God can move in your bathroom. God can move out in the street. He can move in your car. He can move. He's moved on me during a business meeting because my mind was stayed on him. Matthew 7:21. I say you don't have to turn there, but then I'm going to turn there. So you can do likewise. All right, Matthew 7:21, which is not Matthew 21:7.
Unless you're dyslexic.
Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform miracles. Sorry, many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So this is my encouragement to you. Don't be tricked in looking at your own righteousness. Mm-hmm. These people aren't... So there are people that move in false healings and miracles. The Bible says so. Absolutely. But there are a lot of people that move in legitimate miracles and healings despite their unrighteousness. So don't let the enemy trip you up and make you think it's not moving because of your unrighteousness. That's getting your eyes on yourself instead of putting your eyes on Jesus. It's Jesus' righteousness that heals, not yours. It's by his stripes that we are healed. You can move in works right this minute. What about false teaching? Jesus said to do what the Pharisees teach. Did you know that?
Yes.
In Matthew 23:1-12. Doing good on time. Let's do it. Matthew 23:1-12. Why do I have taken you to the scriptures? Because you shouldn't just take my word for granted and just assume that what I'm telling you is right. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses." Therefore, it's interesting because he says the chair of Moses. Remember, the Sadducees were the priest. The Pharisees were at this time teaching that they didn't even need the temple anymore. The Orthodox Jews that we have today are students of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Okay? That doesn't mean that they can't come to know Jesus, but that means that they have this perspective that the temple is not needed. They take that from Samuel because he said obedience is better than sacrifice. And at this time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had a battle with one another over who would get the power and the attention of the people. The Sadducees took it for granted that they got the authority just because they had the temple. And the Pharisees took the authority by being boisterous and showing just how holy and amazing they were in front of the people. Jesus is going to talk about that now. Therefore, let's see. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move with so much as a finger. So he says to do and observe the things that they tell you, but then he says, look at all of these other things. So he's saying to do and observe the things that they tell you from the scriptures. But when they start adding stuff to that, it's not that when the Pharisees taught the scriptures that brought them to a misunderstanding of who the Messiah was. It was all the things they added to the scriptures that brought them into a misunderstanding of who the Messiah was. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries, and they lengthen the tassels of their garments. These were ways that they... So the phylacteries were things that showed like how much, how holy they were, and the tassels were they're from their undergarments. And so when they're real long, it shows that they were prayerful, humble men. They loved their place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in synagogues, and respect greetings in the marketplace, and being called rabbi by men. Rabbi means teacher. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Father, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So Paul, in Philippians 1, 15 through 18, you can write that down, we'll flip there. He talks about how it was good that Christ was proclaimed, even by people who were motivated by envy, strife, and selfish ambition. Understand that there is a difference between a false teacher who is teaching false truths and a false teacher who is motivated by false things. So we aren't to try to seek out false teachers. That's not the goal. My whole point is to say this, is that when you're listening to somebody, the Holy Spirit speaks something to you. You get a powerful message, and you're like, yes, that's good. Same thing with the prayer today. That absolutely can be a move of God. That does not mean the person who taught it is being motivated by God. You need to take, and you'll get a pattern when you listen to them more and more. You take it to the Word, take it to the Word, take it to the Word. If you got something, that's great. Even a stop clock is right twice a day.
If it's analog.
True. Judas taught, and he ministered to people. But it was the Holy Spirit that revealed the truth to them. It's the Holy Spirit that enabled them to be able to come to an understanding of who Jesus was. It's interesting because who remembers, who's old, so this is not for all you youngins, who remembers all the controversy that came out of Madonna's video, Like a Prayer? Yeah, huge controversy. Because the song's Like a Prayer, and she's singing about literally liking a guy in a church, and there's a choir, and whew, whole big controversy, okay? Because she's singing about a guy and not Jesus, right? But you know, every time I hear Like a Prayer at this point, I only ever think of Jesus. And every time I hear Like a Prayer, it reminds me of Jesus. And I feel a touch of the God. And Nathan and Samuel thought it was a Christian song. Because there's nothing in the song that would hint that it was written about anything but a relationship with God. So my point is that your heart does make a difference. Okay? I learned a lot of things from Rabbi Zacharias, but that doesn't mean he wasn't a vile monster and a wolf that preyed on the sheep. I can take the truth and not bury the sin. There is a lot of people in the church right now that would refuse to call out Saul's sin. King Saul. He prophesied. He was anointed by God to be king. How dare you speak against God's anointed? What about David? David was a prophet. He was a king. He was a priest. He could enter before God and see God's altar. Something that no other tribe had ever seen. Except for the Levites. How dare you come against him and call out his affair and his murdering an innocent, good man. You went against God's anointed. That's foolishness. And it's evil. Solomon wrote 3 books of the Bible. He burdened his people with insane taxes for his own pleasure. His own pleasure. His lavish lifestyle is specifically prohibited against. And he did it anyways. Saul worshipped idols and he built temples to them. And he also tried to murder a man instead of repent when he was confronted by the prophet. Now listen up. The beautiful thing about conviction is that when God tries to convict us, the enemy immediately tries to believe that we are condemned, to separate us from God. Look at Adam and Eve. Imagine what would have been so different if Adam, as soon as he sinned, ran to God. He walked with him in the garden. But instead he hid. And so many of us, when we fail and we feel that conviction, we run and we hide. But the word says that feeling conviction is not condemnation. That means you are a son and he loves you. That's a beautiful thing, not an evil thing. So to round things out, let's talk about false prophets. Deuteronomy 18:20 talks about prophets who speak and the thing doesn't come to pass. It says we should not be afraid of them. But what about those people, like Isaiah? Did Isaiah speak a prophecy that did not come to pass? Yes. Do we have a book from Isaiah that it all came to pass? Yes. It's showing a pattern of a habitual choice to constantly prophesy falsely over and over and over. And you want to come talk to me afterwards, and I will give you a name of a very prominent person who has prophesied over and over and over and over and over. And every time he's confronted with it, he'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake. But people don't remember that. He's repented over and over and over, and yet he still continues to prophesy falsely over and over and over. The other false prophets are ones who speak in the name of other gods. If I tell you that I am married to a saucy, passionate, half-Cuban, half-black woman that's short and she's very thin, but man, she's fire and spirit. Am I talking about Alyssa?
I wouldn't even go step on her.
She's got a tan.
She's a tan German woman, but she is definitely not Cuban or black. Half German, half French Canadian.
More skinny.
Oh, boy. You better watch yourself.
But you don't want me skinny.
Shh. Cut it. Learn. Learn to hold your tongue, boy.
She's a big woman.
No.
I'm not.
Stop. Stop it. Stop.
I'm saying she's.
Stop. Wrong. Close your mouth. Listen, please. It's not the time. That is not who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Alyssa. I'm not talking about my wife at all. Right? at the time, if I tell you that I worship Jesus and he did not die on the cross, am I talking about Jesus?
No.
If I tell you that I worship Jesus and Jesus did not come in the flesh because all things in the flesh are evil, am I talking about Jesus?
No.
If I tell you I worship Jesus and he is the biological son of God, and he is one of many gods, am I talking about Jesus?
No,
but I'm talking about Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Muslims. I'm talking about Jesus of the...
Jews?
No, of the... What? Assyrian. The Assyrian...
Sibylia.
Whatever. And in the third, I'm talking about Mormonism, right? Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The only way that I can know the truth is to know the Word and the truth, that is Jesus. The only way I can know the truth is to have a relationship with Jesus and know the Word. That's why I want you to take what I tell you back to the Word. If I'm in error, come talk to me. Maybe you're correct and I can repent and be better for it. Maybe you're incorrect and we can talk about it and you can be better for it. But all things aside, give me a sincere believer with a love for God and the Holy Spirit that will make a mistake but steps out in faith any day. I'll take it. We build up these idols of people that sometimes aren't even accurate for who they actually are. Sometimes we build up these pictures of people that is beyond what they actually all are. Peter was a sinner. Paul was a sinner. But they moved with great power because they chose to be turned into a new man for God. You are called by the very same God. The very same God that rose Jesus from the dead operates through you. The only thing that keeps him moving is your unwillingness to let him move. We all should be very open to the move of God. God moves, and any time I think that I've seen every kind of move of God, I see a new move of God. He moves in a way that I just did not ever anticipate him moving. But we must be very closed to the person and the identity of God. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
That means the person, the personhood, who they are, what they look like. That means that my wife is not a black Cuban woman. She is a half German, half French Canadian, mostly. Beautiful woman of God. That means that Jesus Christ is the one that is in this text. It is the one that is shining forth in the heavens to bring justice and righteousness. The one that transforms me even now. That is who he is. That is how he works. And if a truth that comes from a man, that comes from a spirit, that comes from anywhere, if it does not line up with this, then it is false. It is not true, and it is not who he is. It's a narrow path that brings us to God. But if you're on that path, then God can use you.